We are beginning on page, whoops, changed pages. Page 182, where are you in the paperback? 182. So we're beginning with verses 44 to 49 on 182. And this is what it says. Jesus' death was not significant because of his last words. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. With these words, Jesus declared that his self was not stolen from God, but was of God and was the same as God. This was the significance about what seemed to be his death. It was the declaration that there is no death that was significant and was heard by some who witnessed these things on this day. What is the nature of God? The nature of God is life. That which is created by God must have his nature, as it is his nature that is the element of creation. This is what God has gifted you and will not take away: life. There is no threat that this gift can be taken from you. It is yours eternally, and you are of this gift, and you are the same as this gift, as you are of God, and the same as God. So one thing that's interesting for many of us, it depends on where you are actually in your awakening process, but at some point for most of us, you know, we start this awakening process with an idea of God. And one thing that is interesting as we move through the awakening process is to observe how our idea of God changes. And at some point, it seems like our idea of God, then you can't talk anymore. Because then you have to stop. But the idea of God, at best, would simply be described as isness, or even just is. In fact, I remember once early on my spiritual path, the Holy Spirit within me showed me that the only word in the English language that had any true meaning was the word is. That was the most meaningful word in the language, and that any other word did not have any real meaning. And, you know, if you look at just the word is, you know, what does that mean, is? Yeah, you might say continuous, you might say beingness, you might say present. I mean, you can throw other words at it, but you get a feel for what is, right? And then if you just say God is, those two words are actually synonymous. God is God, right? I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but you get the point. And then if you look at yourself, you realize you are is. I mean, in this moment, you're is. You know, you may think of yourself as a lot of other things, you know, a woman, a man, educated or not educated, rich or poor, happy or sad, you know, fit or not fit. You know, you can throw a lot of other things on top of that is, but what's underneath all of those other things? Just the is. You know, all of that other stuff is thrown on top. So somehow we got this idea that we stole ourselves from God by throwing stuff on top of is. You know, by throwing other ideas in and saying, I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm this. And then we thought, oh my gosh, I'm no longer what God made me to be. I've stolen myself from God. I've developed my own will. But the is like in there still, you know, I'm trying to make it vibrate. The is still there. It, you know, the is can't be lost. The is can't go away. And that is the same as God, and that is what you are. Here the word life is being used. You know, sometimes the word love is used. I actually, although the word love is a wonderful word, it's not my favorite word because people have other ideas about what love is. And I think it's actually a more confusing word because then people define what love would do in this situation. And often their ideas about what love would do are actually quite off, you know. So, but it's a hard word to distort, right? So starting with sentence 13. Confusion entered your mind when you believed that you took this gift from God. You believed that you made this gift according to your will, which was to steal it from God's will. It is this thought upon which you judged yourself as guilty and unworthy, and so you became fearful and learned to attack. But if you understand that the gift you were given is life, you will understand that the gift has not been stolen, because it cannot be stolen. It is a gift that simply is. When you surrender to this gift by ceasing to deny its reality, you surrender to love. For what can the acceptance of eternal life be except eternal gratitude, which is love? This is what Jesus declared. There is no death because the gift of God is life. There is no guilt because this one gift that God has given cannot be taken away. So, you know, one of the ideas that hit me when I started to understand what we are, which I'm going to continue for now to use the word is, what I understood then is that that's the same in all of us. You know, you can take a criminal, you know, one of the baddest guys you can find, right? Bad Leroy Brown, remember him? We can take bad Leroy Brown, and then we can take a minister, who most people would say are very, very different, right? But if you strip away everything that makes them different, you get down to the is. And it's the same. There's no difference whatsoever between the isness in one person and another person. And so if you learn to look at the isness alone, you can't find a difference between people. You start to, your eyes become focused on what is the same in everyone. And not only that, but at some point it goes beyond that. You start to notice the fly that you just would have, before, you would have just knocked him away because he was annoying you, or maybe killed him even. You start to notice, Iz, you know, I was like, the same as you, he's the same as you. And then you start, Iz, I can't read this word because he's on the iPad right now, we have to wait until he moves. You know, you're not even swiping him off of your iPad anymore. I swear to God that's the way I am. It happens. It just happens because you start to sense the isness in everything. And then it even goes beyond that. You start to sense the isness in your chair. You start to sense the isness just in the space. You know? And then that's when you start to realize all there is God. The appearances, there's lots of different appearances, but the isness is the same. You know, and you really become focused on that. And that's a very joyous, joyous experience. And it doesn't get in the way of you being able to deal with life. You know, so if bad Leroy Brown did come to my door and bad Leroy Brown was breaking into my house, I can be in my heart totally aware that this is and still dial 911. You know, because you don't actually need judgment to dial 911. You don't need to hate or be afraid of bad Leroy Brown to realize, it's time to dial 911 now. You know, because Iz thinks he's a criminal and he's breaking into my house and I need to dial 911. That's what we do. You become quite able to function without judgment. And so then you're just always happy and you're not paralyzed, you know. I think that we do go through a phase where we get paralyzed because we think, you know, without understanding, we think, I'm not supposed to judge my brother. what do I do now? Because he's doing this thing to me. Do I just let him do it? You know, and this paralyzing thing happens. That's actually still when we're in the state of confusion and we're still seeing the differences. When you go beyond the differences, you can be quite functional. You know exactly what you are to do, and the movement happens, but the judgment isn't there. The fear isn't there. It's almost like you're playing a game. You know, you're just playing your part. Okay? All right, so let's move on then. Death is an illusion. It may seem to be final, but it is not, because all that can be final is that which lasts when all else has ended. And that is the truth and recognition of the reality of life. So again, we do experience the appearance of death. And you could even say to some degree, you know, we will each, unless we awaken in this lifetime, we will each experience a death. That death is the end of this personality, right? But this personality is just the stuff thrown on top of the is. It's not the end of the is. And where the sense of death comes from is still thinking this is what I am, right? Then there's a sense of death when this ends. But the isness can't end. It can't ever, ever end. And so we talked about what we're here to do is to shift our identity. If you are able to successfully shift your identity from this to the is, then you can even let this end. You realize you don't end. That's what Jesus meant by eternal life. Eternal life is actually always here because is always exists. But it doesn't seem like eternal life if you're identified with this person. But when you're identified with the is, then you're aware of the eternal life. You're not threatened by this person becoming sick, this person becoming old, this person dying, because that's not what you are. That's just piled on top of the is, and you're now fully identified with it. So what's the Course say in the beginning? Nothing real can be threatened. So the is what's real. That which precedes the recognition of life as it is rest. This is the true meaning of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day set aside at the end of the week before another week of work begins. The Sabbath is a time set aside at the end of time before the recognition of time as a set of limits ends. The Sabbath is a time of rest in which you still experience the effects of time, but you no longer choose to participate in them. As thoughts come into your mind that are not the thoughts of peace, you rest from those thoughts and let them be healed. During the Sabbath, your healing occurs according to your own willingness to rest. As the mind is healed, peace comes over you, and you no longer fight to place meaning where there is none. You no longer struggle against the gift of God by choosing to divide it, define it, and judge. You simply agree to be grateful for it and to accept it in its innocence and purity. So this is obviously a reinterpretation of the Sabbath. It says the Sabbath is a period that comes at the end of, we'll say, your sleep or your dream or your belief that you're the ego. And it's a period of rest. Now what the rest really means is, it's like we did last week. It's that stepping back into the Christ self. When you step back into the Christ self, you're resting from the ego. You're taking a break from the ego. When you're totally listening to the ego, you're believing the ego, you're caught up in the ego, you're not resting. And the more you practice this, the more you learn that, because there is a restfulness that comes over you when you're in the Christ self. And if you forget and you go back into ego, especially if you're more accustomed to being in the Christ self, as soon as you go back into ego, you notice the strain. When you're in ego as a habit, you may not even notice the strain, because the strain is also a habit. But when you get out of ego more and more and more, then you start to notice the strain of ego. So when you're in ego, you are not resting. When you're in your Christ self, you rest. And so the more and more that you rest by being in the Christ self, the more and more you're going to begin to identify with that as who you are. Because that becomes your experience. That becomes the way you find yourself reacting to things. That becomes the way you find yourself thinking. That becomes the way you find yourself being. You start to see, this is who I am. This is my true self. This is who I am. So that's why the rest precedes awakening. Because as you rest, you're really spending more and more time with yourself is what you're doing. And you're getting to know yourself again as yourself. The Sabbath is a time of rest and non-judgment. The Sabbath is a time of stillness and peace. The Sabbath is a time of giving your willingness that it may be strengthened into full willingness and full acceptance of life. So what most of us experience is a process of becoming more and more willing to, I call it surrender into the Christ self, and less willing to still try and be that ego self. You know, and that seems to be a process because the truth is we're attached to the ego self. You know, the truth is, you know, we think that the ego self is taking care of us. The ego self is seeing to it that our needs are met. You know, the ego self is, you know, and if you've seen the movie Revolver, I know you've seen it, right, Dave? Has anybody else seen it yet? Revolver. It's a fairly violent movie. But it's a brilliant movie. It's actually a movie about letting go of the ego. The reason it's violent is everybody involved in it is, well, it's a bunch of bad Leroy Bounds. It's a bunch of bad guys. But one of the bad guys is letting go of his ego, but he lives in a world of bad guys. And there's a whole lot of violence in it. But towards the end of the movie, it's really strong now that he's letting go of his ego, and you're really watching the process of him letting go of his ego. And now that I told you all that, I forgot what I was going to say. Let me read this paragraph again, see if it comes back. The Sabbath is a time of rest and non-judgment. The Sabbath is a time of stillness and peace. The Sabbath is a time of giving your willingness that it may be strengthened into full willingness and full acceptance of life. I don't remember what I was going to tell you, so I apologize for that. So maybe it will come back at some point and I'll just interrupt myself and tell you. But while I'm talking about the movie, I'll just go ahead and talk about the movie. I think it's like right here, but it's not coming back. But in the movie, one of my favorite scenes, there's actually two con men that are awake, but they're still pretending to be con men in order to help other criminals awaken. So you have these two apparent bad guys who are the Holy Spirit, and then there's this other bad guy that they met in prison that they want to awaken. So they are helping him awaken, and they start teaching him about the ego. And they start teaching him that, I don't know what I was going to say. They start teaching him about the ego and what the ego is. And one of the things they tell him is, you think it's your best friend. That's what I was going to say. You think it's your best friend. And that's one reason we have trouble letting go of it, because we do. We think it's there protecting us, keeping us safe. They also tell him that the ego hides behind your pain. And what they mean by that is, there are certain things that you, as an individual, really do not want to go into. You know, like for this particular character, he did not want to be humiliated, and he did not want to be broke. These are the two primary things he didn't want. And what they would tell him is if he would go ahead and just allow those things to happen and let that pain rise up, that he would be free. And so they convince him to give away all of his money. And they also convince him to go to his biggest enemy and bow down to his enemy and basically say, you're a better man than I, right? And he moves through these things. And in the end, what happens is his ego is just enraged, because what's really happening is he's no longer listening to his best friend. It was his best friend, the ego, that always sent him out to get money, because money's important. It was his best friend, the ego, that always had him, you know, be prideful and make sure that he was always looking like he was the top guy, right? And so now he's no longer listening to his best friend. And what happens is his best friend gets very, very angry. And he just watches it. He still doesn't listen. And it says things to him like, do you know who you are without me? You've never been without me, you know. And it says all this stuff. And he just watches it. And then at some point, because he's not listening to it, he's not believing it, he's not running back and saying, oh, you're right, I got to get that money back. He's not doing anything. He's just watching it. Eventually, it just vanishes. And then in the movie, you see this peace come over his eyes, this complete peace where he's just, you know, he's done. He's done with the ego. But the reason I went into that was I was saying that this line 13 says, the Sabbath is a time of giving your willingness. And the reason we have to give our willingness is because we believe it's our best friend. Because if the ego still says to you or me, you know, you got to get that money back. Well, we're trying to get that money back because we think ego is protecting us. And at some point, we have to stop allowing ego to be our counselor, stop allowing ego to be our protector. You know, if ego says you need to defend yourself here or you're going to look bad in front of all the other people, we defend ourselves. We try immediately to correct that appearance, right, in front of others. We're listening to our best friend, which is the ego. And every time we do that, we're keeping it alive. But the problem is, again, the challenge is we really do think it's protecting us. We really trust it more than our Christ self. So we have to continually give our willingness. And as you give your willingness, imagine that this isn't at all true, okay, what I'm about to tell you. It's just an imagination thing. But imagine that there's an empty vessel inside of you. And every time you give your willingness, you're starting to fill up that vessel. And as you start to fill up that vessel, what happens is somehow that vessel magically becomes alive as your Christ self. And then you realize that that's who you are. You keep giving your willingness, you keep giving your willingness, you keep giving your willingness. What happens is you detach from believing that the ego is your best friend. You have more and more faith that this Christ self, which isn't tangible, which is the funny thing, because that ego is very almost tangible, right? But you start having more and more faith that this is your true self. This is your protector. This is why the Course says things like, in my defenselessness, my safety lies, right? You start shifting that, and pretty soon the ego can tell you, go get that money. Go get that money. You need to go get that money back. That money you gave him, you need it. Go get it. And you just ignore it. You're like, no, I'm not going to go get that money back, you know, because I know that you're not my best friend anymore. I know that you're just keeping me away from realizing myself. And you start to take a back seat, like he does in the movie. You take a back seat, kind of a do-nothing stance in many cases. But that takes willingness. It takes willingness. So you want to keep applying that willingness. So that is the end of 23, and I think we'll save 24 for next week. So primarily what we looked at today were two things. One is that we looked at the fact that what we really are is. It sounds silly, but that's it. And if we look at each other even right now, you know, we can see like physical differences and that kind of thing, but we can also know that this is here. Is. I mean, we know it, you know. And so what we want to do is start spending more time, more attention just focusing on that. It's not quite tangible. So for some people, it takes a little bit of practice. How do you focus on is when it's not an object, right? But with a little bit of practice and a little bit of willingness, you can start to focus on is. That becomes stronger in your awareness. And then, like I said, pretty soon you're noticing it in a fly. You know, it's is. You know, and so then there's a kinship with a fly because it's the same thing that you are. Right? It's only dressed up differently. The second thing we looked at was that the Sabbath, the time of rest, is what precedes awakening. And that's because you're resting from the ego. You're stepping out of the ego back into the Christ self. And as I mentioned, what makes it hard is that we actually trust the ego. And so that trust bond that we have, this belief that the ego is keeping me safe, ego keeps me looking good, you know, the ego keeps me, whatever, it keeps me is what it does. But we have to allow that attachment that we have to the ego to be broken. and resting from the ego as much as possible, stepping back into the Christ self as much as possible and just taking that rest, that's how that detachment is broken, or how that attachment is broken. So with that, the assignment for the week then is going to be the same as last week with like an added step. The assignment is still to continue to step back into Christ's self as much as possible. But then also, when you look at others, you know, whether it be an animal, whether it be a leaf, whether it be a person, just try to be aware of is, right? Both in yourself and others, people, plants, right? If you can do it with a chair, but for some people, the inanimate objects take a little longer. But just try to be aware that that is there. Again, you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, but you're aware of it. Maybe even play games when you have the opportunity to be around other people. Play games of noticing what's different in them from you, and then strip all that away. And notice when you strip all that away, what you get down to is something that's not different. That's a fun game to play, and it really works well. It helps to focus you on the is. So what I'll do is turn off the recorder, and we'll go into a little bit of meditation time.